Hello and welcome to the 8th episode of the Right Minds podcast. It is the 21st of May, 2021. I'm joined again by Origin this evening, and we will continue the discussion that we started in the previous episode, where we largely discussed the Christchurch mosque shooting report from the Royal Commission, and also elements that they discussed are around replacement migration. And we were just moving into the next section, talking a little bit about what the Royal Commission report focuses on in terms of what it categorizes as radical right-wing, extreme right-wing. I think this is going to lead us to an interesting discussion this evening. Thank you for joining me and welcome to the show, Origin.
Good evening, Dewa. It's good to be with you once again, and hello to all the right-minders out in internet land. Pleased to be here.
The Royal Commission report focuses quite a bit on Christianity and Islam, or at least sort of the West versus Islam, and that's noticeably absent from any of these discussions, I guess, is Christianity in any detail, because Brenton Tarrant himself, I guess, denounced Christianity, or I don't remember there being much discussion about his views on Christianity anywhere.
No, he did mention in his manifesto that he would know when he got there. That was about it. He didn't really touch on Christianity.
Right.
In too much depth.
Classical, sort of a classical modern sort of nihilistic agnostic.
Outlook.
So one of the things that happened since we recorded the last the previous episode is that there was a the leader of an Australian neo-Nazi group was arrested on suspected terrorism charges. Don't know very many details. As far as I can tell, there aren't that many details about it. I've discussed this briefly with Tim on Trad Tasman Talk, but other than being surprised at the size of this group, we didn't really go into detail. There appear to be at least a few dozen of them. But you then mentioned to me afterwards that you had noticed a lot of pagan elements in these photographs that they put up. And that sort of rung a little bell for me, remembering obviously Brenton Tarrant was a lot into paganism, and there have been a few other news. There have been a few other news items in New Zealand that there's a lot of the progressive movement also into paganism or neo-paganism.
Yeah, so I've termed it the neo-paganism movement. What I have seen when I've looked into some of these chat groups and some of these sites, they are very anti-Christianity. Very anti any Abrahamic based religion. There's lots of references to sun worship, like being strong and proud and hailing the sun, and they will salute the sun, and they have all the iconography that to go with it. The I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly. Sonnenbrand. I don't have it written in front of me. I was going from memory. The Sonnenbrand, which is that crazy sort of black sun type symbol. So it's definitely a return to a form of sun worship, and they talk a lot about purification, and I suppose it comes out in their language with, you know, keeping the white race pure, whatever that means. Personally, that's a term I reject. So they're very, very focused on keeping this white race pure and unsullied, and in a way, I suppose, they are trying to draw strength from the purification elements of the sun, which you know, it's very pagan. It's extremely
and
pagan.
And this is not unique to any kind of neo-Nazi or eco-fascist movement. This is something I believe you've noted in local groups here as well. Sort of, I guess, any kind of ethnic nationalist group focuses on racial purity and not mixing with outsiders.
Yeah, definitely. As the focus draws more and more into the differences, you will have amalgamation of the various groups into their own separate entities. Yeah, I mean, with say, for example, like Māori nationalists, it's really driven now away, moving away from Christianity and into a new pagan type religion. So they're rediscovering the old gods, so to speak. There's a renewal there.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the things that I came across in my research for some of these pagan elements. I remembered that Michael Riedel, the economist, and also Rodney Hyde, former politician, had both commented on a speech made by one of the deputies of Adrian Orr, and he talked a bit about his own religious experiences.
Christian Hawksby is the deputy of the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. He's under Adrian Orr. And interestingly, he commented at a speech and he invoked the Māori demigods. And this is what he said. When I reflect on my learning about Te Ao Māori to date, I am reminded of how Māori describe our emergence into the world of light. It's very Illuminati. He goes on to say, ka puta te ira tangata ki te whaiao, ki te ao marama. The phrase can refer both to the first emergence of Ngā Atua, the gods, into the light of day, and also to the dissemination of knowledge, when Tāne, or Tā Whāki, according to some iwi, returned from his trip to the highest of the heavens. I mean, for me, Dewa, that really speaks to the illuminism of you know, Freemasonry and the Illuminati. Like, are we talking about a conspiracy theory here or what?
This is the Reserve Bank. And if you, if anybody here has read a link, which I will include in the description here, to an article written by Rodney Hyde called Reserve Bank Theocracy. And he talks about the Reserve Bank, now known as Te Pūtea Matua. And he says that these employees of the Reserve Bank must now confront the god of the forest, or Tāne. He is obviously a block of wood or a sculpture set up somewhere in the Reserve Bank. And so they must walk past this statue to this god. And each day as they walk each day, and another quote here from Assistant Governor Christian Hawksby is, each day as we walk through the security gates to enter our Wellington offices, Tāne Mahuta looks back at us as a reminder of our responsibility. So, and the responsibility, he quotes, is that Tāne will not wilt and lose mana. That is the job of the Reserve Bank, the Illuminati conspiracy.
What I find really interesting, Dewa, is that they're really trying to sell a narrative about Māori spiritual beliefs. And what they've done is they've walked back on some of the similarities that many iwi had in relation to Christian culture. So, for example, the gods, the kaitiaki, were actually referred to as more like angels. Māori had a one true god. They had one god called Io. And it's totally, that message is gone. Along with things like, for example, there's karakia. Well, karakia is actually an invocation to the Māori demigods. And they've moved away from inoi. Inoi is the Christian prayer that Māori has.
Is karakia was never Christian prayer?
No, it's how traditionally I've
always understood.
Traditionally is inoi. Inoi. You feel free to check that out. I'm pretty sure I'm just going from memory here.
Thank you for that. And I would also want to note as well that when they talk about Atua or God in this speech, when it's written out, is with a capital A to refer to the one true God, the Christian God. And in Te Paipera Tapu, 1868, I've checked the original Bible, and that's how it was used. Capital A was used to refer to the Christian God. Lowercase a was used to refer to the false gods, usually in plural. Yet they use it in the with the capital A to refer to these deities that they worship. And there's another story while I was looking for related items came up about just last week as well, a Reapeu district councillor leaving a meeting in protest over an opening karakia. And I found the words to this karakia. And one of the lines in there is, kia hua mai te mana atua. Okay, something about the power of God, perhaps. But they provide their version of an English translation. And in this so-called prayer, that line translates to realizing our divinity. And again, Atua is there with a capital A. So they're praying to themselves. This neo-paganism is leading to self-worship. If I'm following that correctly, that's the like
that's like the Übermensch. Like the worship of the individual and the self and the Superman. Praise yourself. Hail the sun. That's what the Nazis are saying. That's exactly what the Nazis are saying.
I don't know where this will go, but that's what we're seeing, a very strange crossover where some of these neo-Nazi and eco-fascist groups are, at least the symbolism they use in their worship, as it is, as you might call it, is strangely identical to what neo-pagan progressives also use in their worship. So what kind of strange crossover is happening here? And I guess the overarching narrative, again, is about a post-Christian world order and like who gets to run the post-Christian world order.
Yeah. I mean, there could be an argument to say, like when you talk about the light that the Deputy Reserve Bank Governor was saying, the light and that worship of the light, and then we have the Nazis with their sun worship and the strength from the sun, which is also a form of light. Well, Jesus is the light of the world, so we may have some criticism about that. But the difference is that with Christ, we have his example of self-sacrifice and not the sacrifice and separation of others. In Christianity, we have the bringing together and not the purification by fiery heat of the sun.
That's right. And Christ is also referred to as the Son of Righteousness alongside the light of the world. So these are all titles that he claims for himself that is really, that's what this is. This is about replacing Christ, replacing Christianity, which backs up my statements that I've made over many years around how nature abhors a vacuum and the idea of this sort of the secular atheistic society just doesn't last, right? It's lived for a generation.
Yeah. And that's how wrong are they now?
Christianity and look at this is, to me, this is the big story. Like this is the next 10, 20, 30 years. You can argue about the budget that was announced today has got, $900 million for this cause that you might not like. Like it's not about economics anymore, right? The money is just numbers that they can print out. You know, what's feeding this new ideology behind the scenes is that's where the real story is. That's where the real focus should be. And that's where the real danger to society is going to come from.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess, to bring this back to the Christchurch report and so on, this idea of this clash of civilizations between East and West, Christianity, Islam, is actually not real. Even I used to believe up until a few years ago that like Islam perhaps is the greatest threat facing the West, but actually the greatest threat facing the West came from within the West.
Absolutely.
We ended up in a false binary that is being shattered as we speak. All right, these stories we're discussing about paganism from this week, from this past week.
As you destabilize the center of the culture, and that is 100% Christianity, Christendom in the West, as it should be referred to, Christendom, you have to make a distraction. And the distraction, the perfect foil for that has been Islam. You know, the enemy is within, and we should focus our attentions on them. And it's we have far more similarities with our Muslim brothers and sisters, just in terms of our moral values and our conservatism and our modesty.
As far as conservatism goes, certainly in my discussions with Muslims and so on, and the ones who read Right Minds, who listen to the podcasts, always get nice messages from them saying how much they appreciate a conservative voice. We share these traditional values, and I only realize later how a lot of what these Western progressive movements are doing is to undermine Islamic traditionalism. They're doing the same to us. They're undermining Christian traditionalism too. This was going to lead into our next topic: conflict in the Middle East, Israel, Palestine, Islam there, and I was going to mention something else that was missing from the Royal Commission report, but we've spent enough time on the missing element of paganism this episode. We're going to leave the other mysterious missing link until next week, I believe. Otherwise, this episode will be too long. So I'm going to leave everybody hanging. And unless something big comes up next week, I believe that this will be quite relevant next week anyway. So thank you very much for joining me on this episode. It's been a good brief chat. I didn't expect we'd devote that much time to neo-paganism, but it turned out to be quite a bigger topic than...
We could talk about it for hours. Really, it is starting to infiltrate every aspect of the culture, and it's very dangerous. We need to move away from it, and both the progressive camps and the extreme right camps, because they're only going to grow, and find that we're getting squeezed in between the two. Maybe that is what is willed for us. Who knows?
Now, we will continue to analyze it. We'll continue to oppose it. We'll continue to expose it. That's really what we can do at the moment. Provide people with the information they need to see what is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. What music are you going to leave us with? Leave for us tonight?
Just about to leave everybody with a short bit of outro music. My favorite composer, Johann Sebastian Bach. Recently, the Netherlands Bach Society had uploaded a recording of his Sonata Number 6 in G major. It caught my eye a little bit because it's considered to be a very modern piece from Bach, but still very much Bach. And he's obviously considered to be old-fashioned, but this is considered to be one of his more progressive pieces. So I thought, why not pick something suitable for this conversation? Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I will leave a link to this sonata down below and play the first 30 seconds as the outro. And obviously, as always, the podcast is available to listen to on the website via RSS reader and also on YouTube and Odyssey. And certainly come and join us in the Telegram channel. It'll be linked on the website. And of course, sign up to the monthly newsletter. Next newsletter should come out just before the next episode, I believe. So that's all for tonight. Thank you again for joining me, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening, and good night.